Hi Phil, good to talk to you again. Trust you're
Hi, Paul.
safely back at home base.
Yep, I'm dead.
All right, well, welcome back. Look, Phil, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, let me refer to it euphemistically as North Korea. Why did North Korea conduct these tests now? What do they want to accomplish?
Right, well, that's the interesting way to put it. Why now? We've just completed a report that went out yesterday on that very question. Why were these events executed at this particular point in time? Well, the reason for it that we take is it's much more complex than obviously what most people look at, because a lot of people don't have the inside information or don't look at things in a more holistic way pertaining to what exactly the North Korean government regime, whatever people wish to refer to him as, is actually thinking. Now, the nuclear test was it was a risky test for them to conduct, but we believe that it was not designed for a international audience whatsoever. It was for a domestic audience. The claims that it was a hydrogen bomb, again, that was easily verifiable for the outside world. It's not so easily verifiable in North Korea. So in North Korea, the belief is that we've conducted our fourth nuclear test, and that nuclear test was a hydrogen bomb level event. So if you take that in conjunction with where the government sit now at this moment, then swiftly following that up with a further satellite launch, again, it was construed by the outside world that it's the illicit testing of ballistic missile capabilities. The North Koreans perceive it to be their sovereign right to launch satellites for whatever purpose they deem this one for weather monitoring purposes. But for the outside world, taking both events in conjunction together, it portrays it as being a further enhancement and development of their nuclear program, their ballistic missile capabilities, and therefore presents a risk to the region. The North Koreans are looking at it more so from, I believe, the perspective that domestically, they're now in a position to tell their people that they have developed their own capabilities for their own sovereign security. So therefore, the entire country, as far as they're concerned now, is secure. But where's that? What's the rationale for it now? I think the key thing that's going to be happening this year is the Seventh People's or Seventh Party Congress, Workers' Party Congress, which starts in May, which could run for quite some time this year. That's going to be a policy realignment process, basically, within internally within the country. And I believe that the provision of a nuclear deterrent in the eyes of the domestic community actually gives some grounds to then directly challenge the position that the military have held for quite some time in terms of the military first policy, where the military have had primacy over everything in the country. Now, you bear in mind that the participants in the development of the nuclear program and the rocket technology, the satellite launch and everything, it's not just the military involvement, it's also the civilian side of the government that's involved. So this creates a position where equilibrium is there between the military and the civilian side of things in terms of the sovereign security. So therefore, there are grounds to say this is a joint effort, a combined effort, and it creates conditions where a challenge to the military supremacy then is not such a risky happening. And the military have been also steered for the past couple of years towards probably accepting this as a likelihood. If you look at some of Kim Jong-un's pronouncements over the past couple of years, there's been a steady increase in his use of the country first term within his speeches. At the same time as supporting the military first policy, he's also been introducing this. So, and we actually believe it does provide the conditions for the military to be not harshly pushed aside, gently steered aside, and creating a position of equilibrium between them so they can refocus resources on economic development, but also will potentially release the military's control of most of the country's critical assets, the natural resources. Obviously, the military's involvement in infrastructure projects is pretty essential. That's where a lot of manpower comes from. So again, that will allow for a redirection of military human resources towards civilian-orientated infrastructure projects and other natural resource projects being released from military's control. So that's a broad brush overview of where we see things and the reason and rationale for these. But there's obviously a long history behind this development over the past 5 years, particularly, but beyond that, where the military has stepped in back in the early 2000s and retaking control of the economy, have not done a particularly good job of that, as one can observe. But since 2011, these changes have really been pushing forward. It was Kim Jong-un's father who actually put in place the cortege of people around him that would allow him to ascend into power on Trump. Since that, he's been pushing forward with his own policies, and he's getting more adventurous with his policies. And he's certainly, from what I've seen in country myself, on quite a few trips in the past 12 months alone, probably 10 times I've been in the past 2 months. Yes, there's definitely an increase in economic activity. There's construction going on everywhere. There's Koreans starting the city skyline. There's a lot of developments within the shadow markets, which we'll come back to perhaps in a few minutes. But that's essentially the overview of where we see things, Paul.
So do you think there's any dangers in, obviously there's a lot of domestic issues at play here. Do you think there's any dangers here of them or the Koreans misinterpreting how America or China may view it and misinterpret any reactions from them interpreting it incorrectly?
Well, we've got a few things happening here. The U.S. is about to launch its largest ever joint exercise with the South Korean Army, South Korean's combined services. So there is some stories in the Western media essentially about that this is Kim Jong-un's move to solidify his position before this happens, as there could be a lot of and antagonistic behavior and responses from the North. These exercises happen every year. You could actually set your clock by it in terms of the increase in rhetoric twice a year, every year. This year might be different, obviously, because of the nuclear test and the satellite launch, but I think the push through the satellite launch immediately in the back of the nuclear test, not so much for the external audience, as I say, but for the internal audience in preparation for this May Congress taking place. Now, just last week when I was in North Korea, there was a enlarged meeting took place, which was not unusual in its own right, but some of the pronouncements made by Kim Jong-un during that meeting were quite interesting in terms of the direction that he's wanting to take things that actually could be misconstrued by external observers. I mean, the first point that he made was the Korean People's Army, and this is a direct quote from his speech, must only head in the direction that the Supreme Leader points. Now, if that's not preparing the groundwork for a challenge on where he's going to tell the military what direction they should be taking, I don't think it can be any clearer than that. The second major point he made was the possible need for changes in government and military structure, where he hinted to these during this enlarged meeting. Then the third point that he made was that this meeting last week would create important momentum for in preparation for the Congress. And then he went on to talk about anti-corruption and abuse position. The whole party in Melbourne was put in a struggle to exterminate these practices and seeking privileges and misuse of authority and things like this. Now, nobody really looks at what the domestic message is, what the motivation for the domestic message is, and what that domestic message is trying to lay the groundwork for. Everybody looks at it from the international perspective, what they see as a bellicose nation that's developing new capacity and capability and becoming allegedly a regional security threat. I don't see it that way. I actually see it as a preparation for continued economic expansion domestically. I mean, some people refer to it sometimes as the potential for the country opening up. That's not going to happen. There's measured, controlled economic reforms taking place in the country. which is geared towards a domestic audience. Does that mean that they're opening up the business outside world? Yeah, they would like to. They'd like to bring more foreign investment in, but lose any concepts of a sort of like China style opening up or anything of that nature, because it's not happening. What they are doing is learning lessons from how the Chinese did things the right way and the mistakes the Chinese made. They're learning lessons from the Mongolians in terms of their exploitation of natural resources, how they've done things right, how they've done things wrong. They're looking at Vietnam. They're studying how the Vietnamese have nationalized the state-owned enterprises in a very good way. And Vietnam, as you know, is one of the more burgeoning economies in Southeast Asia at the moment, but it's still a very controlled country and economy. Just recently, the elections for, not the elections, well, I suppose were elections, for leadership went unchallenged because they essentially said that a one-party system is the best thing for Vietnam. And I don't see it getting the same kind of condemnation that the North Koreans get for taking a similar approach to how they're doing things. So, in answer to your question, is there a possibility things could be misconstrued by the outside world? Yeah, very much so. But domestically? No. They understand what they're doing domestically. And I believe the people inside the country, the people in power, the people making these decisions, fully understand what they're doing and have a very clear direction.
Phil, thanks for that insight. I notice you've developed a very good report on this. If people wanted to purchase that report from you after your many trips and ongoing analytical work inside North Korea, if they were to email you, would that be the easiest way to procure your report?
Yep, they can email us or contact us via our LinkedIn site or individual LinkedIn profiles.
Okay, so it's Phil with a double L dot Hines, H-Y-N-E-S at I-double-S risk.com, or you can contact Phil Hines or Paul Qualia through our LinkedIn profile or on our contact pages at issrisk.com website or apacassistance.com, as in Asia Pacific abbreviation, apacassistance.com, the contact pages. Phil, thanks very much for your comments tonight. Found that very insightful, and let's hope the powers to be don't misinterpret what's going on in the domestic scene in the DPRK. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Paul. Good evening.